SOBs, it's Tucker Carlson sitting in a commercial break actually eating cashews. You now know my secret. Slightly offensive. You could be a lot more offensive than this and still not offend me. I'm glad you're there. Hope to meet you.
Is that the wind blowing? Because I'm feeling a little bit of a fangirl coming out here. Tucker Carlson, SOBs, you slightly offensive backers, with a special shout out. As I was on his show the other day, in primetime, I might say, out from the broom closet into another closet somewhere in Florida, trying to escape vaccine mandates with the man, the myth, the legend himself. I gotta say this, guys, we started from the closet, now we're here. And I was so happy to be on Tucker Carlson the other night during his nightly show. We were seen by millions and millions of people as we premiered the new documentary that I worked on with his team about January 6th. And guess what? It turns out not only are we a fan of Tucker and his work, but he's a fan of ours, and he's grateful. He had really nice things to say about all of us. And Savannah, I just gotta say, does that mean something to you? Because it honestly, there's not a lot of people that could compliment the work that we all do and everyone that watches this. But Tucker saying nice things about everything we've done, saying that our work has been so instrumental in this country and what's happened over the last years. I mean, it feels pretty good to get that kind of recognition.
Yeah, 100%. I was so proud, as was everyone here, to watch you on Tucker and to see everything that's happened. And he's a big guy. He's one of our inspirations. So this was awesome to see.
And aside from all the wonderful work, if you can go to my screen, I mean, we do some great work here. We also just
top quality always.
We also make fun of people all the time. Harry Styles, it was Halloween over the weekend, and believe it or not, I don't think his intention was to scare people, but damn, I mean, can we just say that the celebrity costumes, did you see what's her name is Yoda?
Lizzo.
Dressed as Yoda.
That one actually did scare me.
That was frightening. And so to consider the fact that we show pictures like this, but somehow can still make prime time in front of 6 million people talking about one of the most significant events of the national discourse. I gotta say, we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, you're either going over Harry Styles dressed as a woman, or you're like in a hardcore documentary about a patriot purge and political persecution. There's no in between.
Well, I have to say this. This is actually kind of funny for people that don't know. It's like right now I'm being named as a key witness in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial that's going on. I've been mentioned in and like used in the impeachment trials. I'm being mentioned in the January 6th committee. And then at the same time as doing this, going on prime time fighting the Democrats and the far left globalists, I then show you pictures like this of a very gender confused man and go, haha, gay.
You're like, okay, look, guys, now that we're done with the other news, let's get to the real stuff. All right, Harry Styles in a dress. Come on.
All right. And you know, we have a lot of that coming up, including some very important stuff. We have Andy Ngo, journalist from Post Millennial, who, of course, has been assaulted multiple times by Antifa and far left thugs, who is actually winning his prosecution, possibly. He might be getting justice against the fat, ugly Antifa doxer John Hacker, who is now finally facing charges for an assault against Andy. I want to remind you that John Hacker also got me assaulted. He pointed me out in a crowd, and then someone hit me with armored knuckles on a glove. I think they were plastic, but they cracked the back of my head open, gave me a nasty concussion. And hopefully I'll just blame that for all of my problems,
He sounds like a great guy. Yeah, really, really. Just Portland Antifa, man.
Yeah, I know. And I know. So we have to talk about a lot of things, including the work we're doing right now with Congress to try to pressure the DC jails and the Attorney General to give better conditions to January 6th detainees. We're doing funny things. We're doing serious things. And most importantly, we're doing it all together thanks to your help. And on that note, welcome back to Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, where we always have confetti of color, COC, in 8K graphics, blasting in our faces. My name is Elijah Schaefer, and I am your top 17 host here. I am joined by the lovely and the beautiful Savannah Hernandez, producer and host of the Rapid Fire podcast. You should subscribe to that and this channel as well. Before we jump into that, guys, remember that inflation is already running hot, right at the highs of the last couple of decades. And now, unfortunately, the Democrats are pushing through another massive spending plan that's $3.5 trillion. So here's the deal. Things are going to keep inflating. Your money is going to be worth less and less, which is why you got to protect those savings and diversify it into gold and silver with Birch Gold Group. They are a company that I recommend for precious metals because a few things. They have an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau. They have 5-star reviews and thousands of satisfied customers to help you save your money. And due to a little known IRS tax code, you can legally move your IRA or 401k into precious metals with no tax implications or penalties. To get started on protecting your savings with gold in a tax sheltered account, request a free info kit from Birch Gold by texting the word offensive to 989-898. Again, text offensive to 989-898. The 20-page comprehensive kit reveals how you can protect your savings, how you can move your IRA or 401k out of volatile stocks and bonds and into these precious metals. There's zero cost and zero obligation to request this info. So why wait? Find out right now. Actually, take out your phone, text offensive, O-F-F-E-N-S-I-V-E to the number 989-898. Again, request this free info kit on gold now by texting offensive to 989-898 and get the kit today. I encourage you to do so. So Savannah, we have some interesting things. I do want to say, as we talk about this, a lot of you guys know that the situations that we've gotten ourselves in with this show, like we have a lot of active situations this year because of the reporting we're doing. And people have asked me the same question. What are you guys doing to actually change the world now that you're not on the field as much as you were? Well, I don't know if you guys know this, but recording events is not where the events stop. In fact, as of right now, not only have we been used as key witnesses and as contributors to the defense of Kyle Rittenhouse and the Kyle Rittenhouse case, which is still currently happening. I'm in active communication with his legal team, releasing information now every night on You Are Here and keeping the population informed. In fact, even getting leaked videos from the FBI. So trying to help that case. Number two, like I said, we were able to help with keep Donald Trump from getting removed from office from the impeachment, which was really cool. And number three, in the January 6th issue, which is still going on, I'm helping in two ways. Number one, I am actively trying to pressure Congress, and I'm lobbying Congress, and they're responding, and I'm working with them to try to get better conditions for the January 6th detainees. That's very serious. And not a lot of people have access to Congress members. It's not that special of a thing. You technically could write them. But I mean, when I say active communication, I mean, like, we're like texting each other. Like we are genuinely working on this, trying to work on that. And also, like I said, like you didn't know this entire time we were working on a documentary with Tucker Carlson's team to try to expose the truth about what's happening. So there's so much happening legally behind closed doors. And also don't forget that we've been so far, Savannah, I think we're up to like 52 people. We've helped successfully get religious exemptions to the vaccine mandate so far. Mm-hmm. So I'm really happy about that. That might not sound like a lot, but there's like 50 people or more that have confirmed that the help that we've been able to give them has been able to get them out of having to get the vaccine, which I think is awesome because that all that work, and I'm not taking credit for it, all that work is because of all of us together collectively. So if you watch the show, if you contribute, if you've been supporting, like you're playing an influence in the Kyle Rittenhouse case. You played an influence in the impeachment of the president of the United States. You're playing an influence in the January 6th committee. Like, think about that. You're just sitting at home. You're driving in your car. You wondered what you can do to help. You supporting the show and being a part of this is actually shaping the narrative and the dialogue of the world from a broom closet. That's weird shit, but it's true.
Hey, we do what we can. We do what we can. And if the broom closet is the place that we're doing it, then let's do it.
Yeah, I do. So I do want to talk about this. Obviously, the world is backwards. And you can bring this up. Harry Styles dressed up as a little bitch for Halloween.
Oh, no.
For Halloween. And I think that, you know, the country is pretty messed up. And we're going through one of the harshest times in the world. And people were just really celebrating this. Everybody was saying that Harry Styles dressed as Dorothy, something we never knew we needed. Now,
nobody needed that. Nobody.
I not only never knew we needed this, I still don't need it. I don't need it.
You know, my favorite thing about the first photo as well is that he's manspreading while in a dress and has makeup on. And it's like, pick one, right? Like, are you going to be masculine? Are you going to be feminine? Like, what's going on with this?
That's part of the non-binary background.
I see.
Like, I can be a man in a dress. And it's so fundamentally weird to me that, you know how easily programmable the United States of America population is? When all a celebrity has to do is just do something and people assume because that person is doing it, then it's validated, right? So it's like, never in your life did you wake up thinking, I want to see Harry Styles in a dress manspreading. And if you're watching this show, if you're a blind viewer, this is where you luck out, because he's literally dressed in like ruby red slippers. Like those look like nitrile gloves zipped up on the side. He looks like he's about to do some like medicine with his feet. He's got some like stockings.
He's just protecting his feet from coronavirus.
And his hand is just blocking maybe the outline of where his phallus would be. And then it's got like this dress lifted up. He's got red rosy cheeks and a bow. Now, this is disturbing, but people are weird, and that's fine. What I don't understand is not that a celebrity did something weird, but when people then respond and go, oh my gosh, this person did this, therefore now I didn't realize that this is now a part of my life, and I not only am going to acknowledge it, but I'm going to say that I needed this and I need more. And it's this rewarding, this bad behavior, this stupid behavior in these celebrities that has gotten us intoxicated and drunk on this licentious, distracting lifestyle of celebrity involvement in life. Meanwhile, the real world is happening. The real world is going on and people are asleep. Congratulations to Youngkin in Virginia, who barely won the election for governor, despite the fact that they tried to steal it, but were unsuccessful. And that's absolutely true. The world is asleep. But if you watch this show, I hope you're not, because we do have some very intense stuff to talk about.
And Elijah, before we get off the topic of Youngkin, despite the Democrats trying to stage a neo-Nazi event in front of his campaign bus, you know, we kind of saw images like this the other day. This is what the Democrats were trying to pretend Youngkin and his supporters were doing. Mm-hmm. Despite all of that.
Savannah, you weren't supposed to show us on Halloween.
Sorry. Let me just Sorry.
Yeah, I said to keep that video private.
We were ghosts, guys.
I was a ghost of Christmas past that liked to party. There was a party hat underneath there. Don't confuse it. Don't confuse it. It was a party hat. I just didn't want everyone to know that I was
We were just going to a Youngkin camp.
Put it
just
up. Kidding. Put it back
up. It was actually a Ralph Northam event.
Yeah, I dressed up as Ralph Northam for Halloween. But really, realistically, to give him the credit, it was really just, again, a sheet, and then they liked to party. So it's just the party hat underneath.
So we were just like party time ghosts. That's what it was.
By the way, I actually don't know where this video is from. Someone said it's from Kiev. I don't know. I don't think they really use English in Kiev.
I told you, it's from Glenn Youngkin's last campaign stop, the Lincoln Project. Yeah. This is how they were dressed.
After molesting children, they they put on these robes and went, Lincoln Project all the way. Children are the only way. And that's basically The Lincoln Project are a bunch of pedophiles who dress up as neo-Nazis and racists. It was actually weird in that whole race. I know we're going to cover it more in tonight's show on You Are Here, because it's more of like an election show. But I mean, we have reason to believe that the New Jersey election is not legit, and that there's absolutely problems in the fact that there was a district that, when I went to bed at 12:15 a.m. last night, was called at 100% for the Republican governor. And the election was technically called. And then I woke up and it was still at 100%, but there was 40,000 more votes and they were all for the Democrat. And then the election switched in the middle of the night. It's weird how this keeps happening. Well, it's weird how it keeps happening.
Yeah, it keeps happening. And, you know, we saw the media reports as well before this election that we might not know the election results on election night, but that's just how elections work now, everybody. So please don't question it. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's where I'm at.
It's fortification.
Fortification. I do want to say this, that this is really important if we can go to this. So let's talk about January 6th for a little bit and give some updates, because obviously this is back in the news. The committee's out. They're trying to prosecute people. They're trying to subpoena people. Like I mentioned, I made a claim. I said I am in active contact with members of Congress about January 6th prisoners. The situation is very bleak. Both lawmakers and credentialed reporters are being blocked from any access to these detainees. Human rights abuses appear to be rampant. We are being legally shut out. So here's the deal. Updates have come out. I've received information and letters from people who are detained. They are being denied basic things like food and water, exercise, haircuts, free time. They are being denied any type of, commentary. or commissionary. I'm sorry, I haven't been to prison, but where you can, like, you know, have people send you money and you can buy better foods. They're being fed something like a slice of bologna, a piece of white bread, and some schlop, and they're losing 30, 40 pounds. They're getting scurvy. I mean, there is a human rights political prisoner issue. And I know about this. And a lot of you guys say, well, who's doing something about it? Well, I'm trying. I'm not a congressman, and I have lawyers. I'm in my own legitimate legal issues with the Attorney General right now of the United States, Merrick Garland. I've had my own issues consistently with the FBI, and I have been petitioning them. Now, what's important to validate that publicly, if you can go back to my screen, Representative Paul Gosar, who's very much been on my side, who's been on your side, has let, you know, this is something public. I can't release our private contacts, but he says, correction, we are being illegally shut out. And so I want to let you know that the federal government is blocking everybody from access to get inside the prison. Nobody is being allowed indoors. Nobody is being allowed inside. The visitation rights, I'm going to tell you this, even the prisoners are being forced to meet with their legal counsel in front of, like, guards, so that their information, they're not allowed to share private information, so that the federal government doesn't give them any privacy to legal counsel, which is illegal. They're blocking their access to their legal counsel, and it's taking weeks to even get a phone call out to family and friends. And then they have a limited amount of numbers that they can use. And then those numbers are being, they're giving, like, delays, so that they're really they're deprived of any contact with the outside world. And it's meant to treat them poorly. In fact, some of the detainees are being asked to be transferred to Gitmo, Guantanamo Bay, because in fact, as of right now, there are better conditions inside of Guantanamo Bay than there are inside of this DC jail. And I'm going to back that up with facts. If you could take it off the screen. So I know this may not surprise, you guys, but so during the midst of this, it just came out yesterday, specifically, if you can go to my screen, thanks to the work of Tom Fitton at Judicial Watch and others that I've been working with that are really doing a fantastic job on this case. Like I mentioned, I mean, there's one thing about activism holding up a sign, Savannah, but, like, this is where I think people need to be patient. I don't think they see the amount of work that goes on behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. To try to change these things, because you're obviously not going to free these people by, like, burning down the walls. We're trying to figure this out, and it's definitely wrong, and it hurts my heart, and it should piss you off, but I just want everyone to be patient, because obviously we're like, even with Andy, how we're going to raise money for his legal defense fund, and we're trying to prosecute John Hacker. A lot of what the show is switching to in activism is legal, is going through legal courts and through routes, mm-hmm. to try to win. And do you know why we're doing this?
Why?
Because I want to fight as far as we can legally, so that when we lose officially legally, people realize there is no other options. Like, right. We need to exhaust our options so that people can wake up and see what's eventually going to happen.
Right. I was reading this tweet about how in the Constitution, it talks about overthrowing a corrupt government. And so, you know, what you're talking about right now is essentially like, okay, well, let's see just how corrupt the government is. Maybe it really isn't corrupt. Let's find out by going through the judicial process here and trying to get justice for these political prisoners.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I'm doing. And that's what a lot of us are doing, is trying to guarantee that we're doing our best to show the American public that every option that can be used, an avenue that can be used, is utilized, mm-hmm. so that when they show us that we no longer have hope in the courts, people wake up to realize that there may only be a few other options, and those options we'll wait to find out what they are, because that's sometimes that my mom always taught me this, that part of the way that you understand God's will for your life is, mm-hmm. like, sometimes you get upset because things don't go your way.
Right.
But obviously, like, sometimes, like, when something's the option, the only option, like, you know, that's a part of God's plan for your life. So rather than getting discouraged, you go, sometimes God allows even things you thought were the right path to be taken away from you, so you see which path he wanted you to go down. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that path is difficult, and it doesn't feel good. It's not amazing, and it's not what you want for your life. But God is saying, look, I know you don't want this, but I'm going to allow you to go through this. I'm going to walk with you through this path so that you are encouraged, that you are strengthened. And you know what? I don't think God loves to see these political prisoners suffer. I don't think God loves to see the abuses that are going on. God doesn't love abuse. But if our government is corrupt and our government needs to go, if they need to be removed by whatever means, and we'll just say peacefully for the sake of the show right now through a national divorce, then we need to make sure that we make sure that we remove the options from the table so that people don't have any second guesses when the time comes that we need to completely split apart as a country. It's like, you know what? No, we tried, we did everything we could, and now we need to split our ways. You know what I mean? Like it's, we have to, that's what my mom said. It's sometimes like sometimes the paths you want to take go away so that you're sure that God really wanted you to go on the hard path. Like, it's like, well, it's my last chance. So here we go, God. And then you go on that path with his provision, with his comfort, with his strength, and you face the trials, you face the difficulties, and it makes you a stronger person. And I know you've done that too, because I know your life hasn't been exactly easy the last year, and it's been kind of difficult, like for a lot of people, but I know that you've become a stronger person because of it.
100%. And again, to you as well, Elijah, in regards to your reporting and everything that we've seen on the ground, I feel like a lot of Americans are really struggling in regards to the path that the government has forced them onto. But like you said, what we can do is keep pushing forward legally and peacefully and see what the ultimate end result of this is going to be.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to write this: January 6 inmates to be moved, quote, out of DC jail after recent surprise inspection found evidence of systemic mistreatment of detainees, including unsanitary living conditions and the punitive denial of food and water. And I want to say this, there have been massive sewage backups and people have been had to live in their own feces, according to reports. This actually comes from the Washington Post, a liberal outlet. You can read this article, which is absolutely insane. Now, take it off the screen here for a second. What's really important is that it's so funny because as we reported this, we've been reporting that the conditions for the January 6 inmates have been unsanitary, that they've been being abused. There's an human rights observation of the jail, the prison, I should say, jail/prison, that finds those conditions. We say, see, we told you, we've been saying from the people that they're being treated like animals and they're having unfair and unequal treatment. And then Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch comes out. It's so funny. They respond back saying, don't worry, everyone. January 6 prisoners magically walled off from these abusive conditions were observed to be largely appropriate and consistent with federal prisoner definition detention standards. Meaning they're just saying, well, yeah, we found out that for most people in the prison, they were under these conditions, but not the January 6 detainees. They had better conditions that were normal for federal detainees. And so it's just funny. It's like, oh yeah, by the way, we agree. Everyone in this jail is being treated like shit, but the January 6 detainees, oh, there's an invisible cloak that is walling them off. The same standards that made the most fair and free election, the same standards, you know, that where you can't question the pandemic because it's, you know, the science is settled, where climate change is for sure going to kill us. Like, they just make these statements that, you know, are bullshit, you know, they're not true, and they make them anyways. And they're like, yeah, sure, you might be kind of correct, but in the end, we're going to still pretend like you're lying. And I don't know. I think the gun's smoking here. They can't deny this anymore.
Well, do you remember earlier this year when Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz went to the D.C. correctional facility to try to go see the prisoners and they locked them out of the facility? I think that's all we needed to see because they were going to check on the conditions of said political prisoners and they wouldn't even let them see them.
Take this off real fast. I have a brand new update right now. One of the Congress women I'm in contact with is Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's a huge ally in our attempt to secure the future of this country. And if you can go to my screen, she sent me this today. She just posted this that her and Representative Louis Gohmert were denied entry again to visit his constituent and conduct oversight at the DC jail. She goes, I'm extremely concerned about the treatment of J6 defendants and now all inmates being held there. Call the jail to demand oversight and transparency. So this is, they went to the jail today. This is his constituent. He's a lawmaker. He is in Congress and they were denied access to seeing their own constituent. And what's absolutely insane about this is that she's going to come on the show. We're going to keep updating you guys on this journey. She was supposed to be on the show before, but her father passed away. We were very, it was very difficult for her. And I know that she's really, you know, but she's really been battling with the Lord. She's a God-fearing woman and she's fighting for righteousness and for justice. And for that, we thank people like Gosar and MJT. And now, you know, Savannah, you know, this is why Louis Gohmert, Marjorie Taylor, Gosar, why they're so demonized and Boebert by the media. They're demonized because they actually care about us. They care about the people. They're going in to look at these people. They're pressuring Congress to start looking out for the interests of Americans. And the elites hate them for that.
100%. It's so rare that we see a politician who actually stands for constituents, stands for the people, listens to what Americans want. And these are the politicians that are doing that. And like you said, that's why Marjorie Taylor Greene constantly demonized Lauren Boebert. Same exact thing, because unlike these other corrupt DC politicians, they actually stand for truth. They stand for justice. And they're trying to bring America back, if you will, because we have gotten so far from our original foundings and what this country is truly about. And the DC establishment can't handle, you know, people coming in and trying to corrupt that.
Right. And, you know, as you know, like I said, her father passed away. Mm-hmm. You know, my mother passed away. And obviously, sometimes what was interesting was, is like, just like they come against us. I remember I had a bunch of pictures of my mom on my personal Instagram, and then Facebook and Instagram deleted all my accounts after January 6th. And then I wasn't able to access all these memories that I thought I was like digitally storing mm-hmm. for my family, which is why I knew the importance of having physical copies of these images in something more meaningful. And not only can you just print images, but you can get something higher quality. If you want to give a truly meaningful gift, you've got to try paintyourlife.com. See, you can get professional hand-painted portraits created from any photo at a truly affordable price. You can send any picture, yourself, your children, family, or a special place, or a cherished pet, or combine photos into one painting. With Paint Your Life's compilation portraits, you can bring together family members who never had the chance to meet, or even create a portrait of the whole family without the need for everyone to be there for a family photo. Choose from a team of world-class artists and work with them until every detail is perfect. You can order a custom-made hand-painted portrait in less than 5 minutes. It's a quick and easy process. Get a hand-painted portrait in about 3 weeks. Meaningful, personal, and can be cherished forever. Such high quality. It makes the perfect holiday gift for someone you love, specifically Christmas, or for yourself, an anniversary. I am going to say this. Of all the pictures that I ordered, we ordered a picture, hand-painted, beautiful picture of Alex Jones' head photoshopped onto like a naked mole rat or something, laying like a French girl, like from Titanic.
Which to is Elijah, talk about as well, like how easy this was to use. Like you go, you upload the photo, you can even pick which painter you want, and it shows you like their different styles. And so it was really great for our photo because we were able to kind of figure out what we wanted it to look like, what vibe, and it was a really easy process.
Yeah, I know this. So it's awesome so much. So such a good photo, and I'm really excited by it. The quality of the painting is amazing, and it's going to be a Christmas gift for Alex Jones. So we're very excited about it. At paintyourlife.com right now. So that's paintyourlife.com. There's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money is refunded guaranteed. And right now is a limited time offer. Get 20% off your painting. That's right. 20% off and free shipping. To get the special offer, text the word offensive to 64,000. That's offensive to 64,000 right now to get this offer. Again, text OFFENSIVE to 64,000 to get the offer. 20% off plus free shipping. Check it out today. So I do want to talk about this as we go into this. So the hypocrisy of these people continues. The climate change summit was happening over the weekend, where politicians shipped, I think, approximately several hundred cars on several dozen private jets to go to a climate summit. What you're seeing here is President Biden's gas-guzzling SUV and limousine motorcade that was being used to get him to the climate change summit CO2 reduction gathering.
Yeah, and then he also had an 85-car motorcade in Rome when he went to go shit himself in front of the Pope. Don't forget about that.
Did he poop himself?
Some sources are saying, either way, rumors in a foreign country that our president pooped his pants is kind of embarrassing, I would say.
Yeah. So, look, there's nothing you really need to see here other than the hypocrisy like, if you're going to be driving vans and trucks in this large motorcade to a CO2 reduction climate change thing, then the problem is with this is it shows you exactly what they think. Is that they are exempt from the very standards that they're putting into place for the country. Justin Trudeau actually even signed on to reducing CO2 emissions in Canada to an extent that it will kill jobs in his country. And then he refused to answer questions from reporters and then went and partied with all the global elites in a very expensive, well-decorated party. Now, what's funny about all this is the West follows this international globalist agenda to destroy our countries in the Great Reset and to remove our industrial growth. Guess who was not at the climate summit? Guess who didn't even show up?
China, maybe?
Yes, China didn't even show up.
What about India?
No, but China didn't even show up. Like, China didn't even show up. And they're like, oh, it's so crazy because like China's the biggest emitter of carbon emissions. And if they don't reduce, then it's everything we're doing is for nothing, which is admitting that all this is for sport. It's for show. It is ineffective. It is wrong. And you know what? This is kind of funny. I don't know if you guys know this. YouTube changed its terms of service now. I know you guys know about all the warnings that you see when you're like, hey, should I get a vaccine? And then a warning pops up. Vaccines are safe and effective. Inject them into your eyes and into your asshole because it feels so good. And you got to freaking deep throat them. No, I'm not even joking. That's literally everything. It's like you could even just say something like, you know, hey, I don't know if lockdowns are good. Yes, lockdowns are safe and effective. And they actually make you live to be 300 years old. Like these stupid warnings they put onto everything on Instagram, on Facebook. It's so insane. Guess what? They now do that for the New World Order as well. They tell you the New World Order is not real. And then they also added climate change, where you cannot criticize climate change. And anyone criticizing it will have their channels deleted, will get strikes. And what's so crazy about that is, you know, basically anything they're censoring is definitely a lie on their part. So anything that you can't say is probably true. And that is an effective and a real thing. I'm not going to put it on the screen. But let me find this for a second. So I had an issue with these people, with these fact checkers. I know we know about them, right? They're so safe and effective. They want to fact check everything. It's so insane. So I actually made a post. Yeah, here we go. So check this out. You can go to my screen here, Savannah. So you see this. All of a sudden, I had this given to me, a fact check on my Instagram and my Facebook. You can follow me at slightlyoffensive.tv. You can follow me on Twitter at Elijah Schaefer, wherever you want to. So I got an alert saying I had shared false information. So I clicked on the post and I read it, and it said, be careful of vaccinated people spreading COVID to you. They are a threat to the unvaccinated. Less severe symptoms means that they may not know they have it, and then they may spread it to you, putting your life at risk. They are the real threat, the ones who are spreading it unknowingly. And I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense. How is that false information? All I said, be careful of people who are vaccinated. They are a threat to the unvaccinated. I didn't say they are a greater threat than unvaccinated. I said to the unvaccinated. They still are a threat. They carry similar viral loads. This is true, right, Savannah? Mm-hmm. We know this for a fact. I said less severe symptoms. So I acknowledge the working of the vaccine. They have less, it lowers their symptoms. It's a therapeutic. It means they may not know they have it, which is true. They have talked about this, that it's like you less severe, and then they may spread it to you, which is why the Biden says that you have to wear a mask on the plane, because you might not know you have it, even if you have the vaccine, because you could still spread it. Mm-hmm. And so that, and I'll acknowledge that COVID's deadly. It puts your life at risk. And I go, they're the real threat, because I didn't say they're the only threat. I didn't say they're a more of a threat. Real just means the one that I believe is the threat that I'm worried about, because I'm not worried about people who they know are sick. Like, I'll just stay away from you. But if you don't know you're sick and you come near me, this is very scary for someone like me. I'm very scared of common respiratory viruses. You know that. That's, other than cyberbullying, the number one second thing that I'm afraid of is common respiratory viruses like COVID.
Well, and if we look at all of the science and politicians who have been talking to us over the past 2 years at this point, aren't the unvaccinated the ones that, like you said, are most at risk? The unvaccinated are the ones that are going to be filling up the hospitals and dying from COVID at, record highs because we refuse to get vaccinated. So even by this own, tweet here that you put out, it's like, yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. And based on everything that we've been saying, like, we're having a pandemic of the unvaccinated. There you go.
Yeah. And so they fact check it, and I read it, and it says information false. Key threat to unvaccinated people is other unvaccinated people by PolitiFact. And I'm reading on here because it doesn't show up on my computer. Uh-huh. I don't know why. It says false. Send them an email if you think there was a mistake. So yeah, you better damn well believe I sent them an email. As a fact checker, by the way, highly esteemed fact checker, one of the most prestigious in the country, I am. Do you guys know that? I don't like to boast a lot, but Savannah, you know this is something to boast about. You know that we are one of the most respected fact checkers in the Galactic Empire.
That is so true. That is so actually true.
We're very well certified.
Fact check true.
Savannah too. Yeah. So here's the thing. So I wrote them and I said, and I'm just going to read this. I said, false fact check on Instagram, request for correction. So I actually did my job. Okay. I said, hello, I'm the fact checker for Blaze Media and would like to counter your claim on a tweet posted on one of our brand accounts. And I gave them the link to the post. The claim that was fact checked as false was actually confirmed by multiple reliable sources to be true. BBC backed up the claim 12 hours ago, so I'm not sure if you just haven't been keeping up with the science or missed the study. Anyway, here it is. And I included the link and then quoted it. Quote, from a Lancet study, individuals who have had two vaccine doses can be just as infectious as those who have not been jabbed, even if they have no or few symptoms. The chance of them transmitting the virus to other unvaccinated housemates is about 2 in 5 or 38%. Then I went on to say, additionally, CDC studies show that double vaccinated Americans can spread COVID just as easily as the unvaccinated. And I included a study that was quoted from NPR, government funded, that said, it says double vaccinated are just as likely to spread COVID. So then I said, as someone with a degree in molecular biology that specializes in this field, I can easily read the studies and understand the language, which also says per the CDC that those who are vaccinated have less severe symptoms. I actually brought the CDC.gov website who says that their symptoms are lowered and they're less likely to be aware of their infection. And so I go on to say, according to the CDC and the most recent Lancet study referenced in the BBC study, they conclude that the viral loads are similar or close to the same as unvaccinated as vaccinated. Thus, the conclusion that vaccinated don't have severe symptoms due to the effectiveness of the vaccine, but can carry similar viral loads and spread it just as easily, makes them a severe threat to the unvaccinated, despite your isolated claim from a random professor who does not know more than the governing body of the CDC and may not be up to date with the most recent studies. Nowhere in my claim did it ever say unvaccinated were not a threat. That was inferred by your team. Therefore, you fact-checked a claim that wasn't made. Please remove the false rating as it sets a dangerous standard of selective medical misinformation. Thank you, Elijah Schaefer, fact-checker, theblaze.com. I would say that's a pretty damn good refutation of what they said.
Yeah. Very thorough.
Hey, here's literally the CDC, the Lancet, which also quoted the WHO, BBC, and NPR, state-funded from the UK and the United States, journalists saying that my statement is not only correct, but that you're fucking wrong.
Well, I mean, we have to think about the fact that CDC Director Rochelle Walensky from back in May is misinformation now. So, of course, these fact checkers can't keep up because the science moves every 5 seconds. I mean, it's not their fault that they're uninformed. They don't follow the actual science, and the science that they do follow doesn't make any sense, and nothing in society really does. And we're still double masking and getting triple boosters because we need protection from this virus. It's not their fault that they can't keep up with it.
Well, and what's so crazy, it's like, this is not a fact check. I didn't say like unvaccinated people don't spread COVID or something stupid like that. Like I didn't say that. I didn't say something stupid. So it wasn't like I said, oh yeah, like I made a false claim, like unvaccinated can't spread COVID to you. And then they were like, false, they actually can. It was like they're fact checking inferences, like implied, like, oh, well, you meant that unvaccinated people aren't a threat.
Like,
and I didn't say that.
Like you were being sarcastic, and so we're gonna fact check your vibe. So
yeah, they fact checked my vibe. They fact checked my vibe. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. Sorry, if you have the wrong vibe, you're getting fact checked and deleted off the internet. Sorry, guy.
Dude, and so then they wrote me back. Sorry, this isn't on the screen. It's just because like this is my personal email. They said, Elijah, thanks for your appeal. We at PolitiFact are part of Facebook's third party. Okay, it doesn't matter. Fact checking team with the International Fact Checking Network. We review and rate blah, 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 blah. It just goes down to say, we reviewed your post and rated it false. You can read more details in the fact check article here. After reviewing your dispute, we have respectfully decided not to change the rating due to the reasons described in the fact check. If you issue a correction, we will review it and can update the rating on your content. Please note that deleting a post or removing a URL will make it impossible for us to process your appeal. Per Facebook Health Center, please note that if you have, they didn't even say anything about what I said was wrong. They didn't even say that they were right. They just go, we reviewed it and just respectfully have decided not to budge.
Well,
and you
our 20-year-old intern doesn't understand these studies, so we're just going to keep it false. Sorry.
No, they didn't go, actually, so we reviewed you and where you said, like, hey, you said that the World Health Organization, the CDC, NPR, BBC, Lancet disagreed with our rating. Here's where they were wrong based off these studies. They go, well, We read your refutation of what we wrote, and we've just decided you. And like that's what fact checking is now. And it's like,
well, that's what science is now.
That's not a fact check. That's not anything. You're literally just, you're a conspiracy theorist then. Because I'm actually providing truth. And this is why it's so rigged. I'm not really mad about this exact post. I don't actually personally care about it specifically. I just wanted to talk about this to show you guys that we are not only in newspeak, but the truth doesn't exist anymore. Like, there's no truth. I brought to them their own governing bodies, their own publications. And then they said in their fact check, you have to read it. They're like, we called our friend an immunologist we called an immunologist at this university. And he said, this is dangerous information because the unvaccinated are the real threat. And so we rated it false. Like, I called my friend and he said, this guy is bad. And so therefore everything he says is wrong. And you go, and you wonder why this is important. The only reason why I care about fact checks is because if I get another one, they're going to delete my account.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the point. They use fake fact-checking to delete your account. And they go, if you issue a correction, how do you issue a correction on an image you posted? That doesn't make any sense. And I'm not going to issue a correction because it's true. What I said is true. You can issue a correction. What they're saying is you can submit to our regime. This is what they mean. You are correct. You know you're correct. You know we're wrong. We know we're wrong. But if you lie to yourself, to the public, and admit false guilt and say that you were incorrect, even when you were, then we'll let you keep your account. You know what? I don't give a damn. Then delete the account if you have to. I'd rather lose my Instagram account with 250,000 followers than keep it and lie to people. Because unlike these fact checkers, I don't lie to people. I don't do that. And I'm not going to admit false guilt. I've gotten through my entire life being bloody honest with the entire public, and I'm not going to stop now. Take it away. I'll go. You can shoot me against a wall. I'm not giving up the truth for your stupid bullshit lies. I'm not doing it.
Elijah, 2 + 2 = 5 and $3.5 trillion actually equals zero. Please remember that and adhere to the new math, the new science, and the new biology that has been given to us by daddy government who loves and cares about all of our health and safety. Without them, we would be nothing. Please remember that.
Yeah, and like that reminds me of this video. If you can go to video 3, I feel like this is literally a fact checker speaking to me. This is a fact check. This is how they speak to us. And this is the kind of rhetoric they're getting. Like, you will submit. Let's watch this.
Let me tell you something about LGBTQ rights, about trans rights. This is only going in one direction. You will respect us. You can be upset. You can be angry. You can think it's unfair. You can feel like we're stealing something from you. But it's still only going in one direction. You will respect us.
And that's the exact mode that the left has taken, is that it's not that you can think for yourself, you can argue with us, we can argue with you, we can try to have disagreements. It's we have decided that the new world order, the new reality we live in, is defined by our ideology, regardless of whether it's based in truth. And you will not only acknowledge, you will not only accept that we exist, but you will have positive, reaffirming support for us. You will respect our false, delusional reality of the world. And I'm going to tell you this, no matter what you try to do, this transhumanism state, I will not submit, I will not acknowledge, and I will not respect. Nobody deserves my respect. Nobody demands my respect. I don't care what you call yourself. I don't care about what the fact checker said about my post saying that I was right, but they're still going to say I'm wrong and that they're not going to submit until I admit I was wrong. When I know I'm right, when the truth is on my side, when I know that you're wrong and that you're incorrect, you're going to respect me. You're going to submit to me because the truth sets you free and your darkness is not going to snuff out the light. That's where I'm at. That's what I believe. And I know it's the truth and good will always win. And these delusional, self-indulging, narcissistic, evil people that have come together are not going to be the ones who are going to set the precedent. We are fighting back. We will win and we will defeat them. And on that note, I do want to say, guys, in the middle of having to defeat people, you do realize that part of the Second Amendment is also the right to own body armor. And, you know, like we're talking about with all of these riots, all these protests that we've been at, I want to remind you that I've always protected my body with both concealable and outward plates from AR-500, the best body armor provider in America. Not only do I have them, but Savannah has them, and they make different types of armor. If you prefer something more like Kevlar that can be concealed under your body or plates that are outside in an actual physical carrier, they have so much to offer you. And I want to remind you, this is part of your Second Amendment rights. You not only need to be able to be offensive and shoot to kill in times where you need to defend yourself, but you also need to not die if somebody somehow shoots you or comes at you. And as we prepare for the inevitable in the future, remember that AR-500 armor is what we trust here at Slightly Offensive. In just a few moments, for about $100, you can completely outfit yourself with the protection that you need. They have different rated plates that you can get, whether it's to protect from handguns or from rifles or larger rounds that could be heavier. I know that they have it for you. And just to show you the kind of armor, if you're a woman and you're like, I don't know if I want to get armor, they have plates that fit me, that work well for me. And Savannah, don't they have nice armor for a little cute girl like yourself that actually fits and is comfortable to run around in?
Yes, 100%. It's so hard for when you have a smaller frame to find body armor that you can actually wear comfortably, and this best product hands down.
Yeah, and I know this. And so guys, right now you can get 20% off their entire store with the code OFFENSIVE. That's OFFENSIVE. If you go to AR500armor.com/offensive, that's AR500armor.com/offensive. You can plan now for how to protect yourself and your family. Get yourself the body armor that we trust here at Slightly Offensive from AR500 Armor. Get 20% off, and trust me, it's so easy. And if you don't know anything about it, they make the buying experience so simplistic. And so you don't need to know anything about armor to get what you need. They explain it all to you. Go to AR500armor.com/offensive, AR500armor.com/offensive right now. Click the links in the description to get the armor that you need. If you have not gotten it and you've waited till now, do not wait at all. Go to AR500armor.com/offensive. So on that note, somebody, a lot of times where we've worn the armor has been in Portland. It's been a lot of the riots that we've covered, including the 100-day siege of the courthouse, has been in a crazy place. Now, there is an individual named John Hacker. John Hacker is a very obese and sadly a burn victim who is, when I say ugly, I'm not commenting on his outward looks because that would be savage. I meant he's ugly in his heart, because he is a doxer for far-left extremists who not only attack people. You say, well, they attack people at protests. You shouldn't be there. You're putting yourself in harm's way. Andy Ngo, who's a journalist, put himself in harm's way. Wrong. Andy Ngo one day was just working out at a gym, at a local gym, and this man assaulted him genuinely. Now, obviously, we've seen very little justice taking place over these cases. And as I've mentioned, we're going to talk a lot about this. But what you're seeing here in this B-roll was that's John Hacker coming up and actually assaulting Andy in this gym. John Hacker ended up losing his membership, was kicked out. But now there's an actual prosecution that's taking place. And we're going to talk about this journey. And I want to let you know that we're trying to raise money to help Andy Ngo in his legal defense fund. As you know, he's been a victim of much left-wing hate. There's been a deplatforming and a canceling campaign trying to remove money from his website through advertisers, and we want to help raise and get behind him in this fight, continue here at Slightly Offensive. Anyway, to talk about this legal fight and to raise awareness and also to find out how you can get into the fight, we would like to welcome to the show the managing editor of The Post Millennial, Andy Ngo.
Thank you for having me on again, Elijah. I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah, and we are so excited to have you. Obviously, you've had an eventful last couple of years. Things have been insane. I know you've had to go into hiding. And before we jump into the case, just to update everybody who's been following all the work you've been doing to expose the far left and what they've been doing around the world, how are you doing overall, and how is your work going?
I'm doing a lot better. I think the last time I was on your show was pretty recent after the assault that happened in May of this year. And I'm really thankful for the support you provided to me at that time and have continued to provide. I've spent this time continuing my reporting, and I still am subjected to a lot of threats of violence and death threats. And even though these people aren't able to get their hands on me, fortunately, because I've left Portland, I've left the U.S., I still have family there that I'm really am concerned about. And So I'm here to talk to you about the indictment against one of my assailants that happened more than 2.5 years ago. And it came as a big shock to me. And with Antifa in Portland, it's a relatively small world. And I know that this individual has tried to out you in a way to for you to get beaten when you were doing your work on the ground. He's a very dangerous individual.
Yeah, so let's talk about this attack. We watched the clip a little bit earlier, but I want to get into the details. So obviously, just reading your tweet, I saw this and I was really shocked, Andy. I'm not going to lie. When I read breaking, Portland Antifa member John Colin Hacker, 37 years old, gosh, what a waste of a life, was indicted for a 2019 attack on me. He is charged with a felony third-degree robbery. There's an active arrest warrant. Read the press release from Liberty Center and donate to my legal fund against Antifa. So those of you guys that don't know, this is John Hacker. He is somewhat of a professional doxer for far left groups in the Portland area, and also was involved in an attack on you, Andy, which he is being somewhat indicted for. Explain to me what happened in that attack. What was your interaction like, and what actually happened?
Yeah, I can understand there being a bit of confusion over this because I've been actually assaulted multiple times, and some people are kind of unsure which event it was referring to. Most people are familiar with the June 2019 attack where, after being punched repeatedly in the head, I had all the drinks thrown at me and I was covered in all this liquid. I was hospitalized with a brain hemorrhage. Most people have heard of that. They may not remember that I have been attacked before and after as well. And the incident with John Hacker happened in May, the month prior, when I was actually at the gym. I think at that time, I was still relatively unknown. I was going to a big gym in Portland, and it was there that I was confronted and then attacked by John Hacker, and he used violence to steal my phone from me, and he proceeded to try to leave the gym, but he was stopped by the gym staff. That was immediately reported to police. I immediately left the gym, called police in my car, reported it, was interviewed by police, and they had all the information they needed because the gym, John Hacker was a member at the gym, so they were able to pass the suspect information to police. And then police and the district attorney's office just sat on it for years, literally. None of the other people who have been involved and named in assaulting me in any of these other cases have ever faced any legal or criminal consequence. So recently, when I was contacted by the district attorney's office in Portland, which, as your viewers and listeners may be aware, has a certain reputation for being quite soft on crime by the far left, I was really surprised. And I gave testimony to the grand jury about what happened that day, and then found out a week later that there was an indictment. As soon as I found out, then released that information through my social media. And as of yesterday, John Hacker was arrested on the warrant and formally arraigned. And he was quickly released without bail.
This was kind of crazy is, number one, people don't realize this too in this attack. This guy is big, right? I mean, he's 300 pounds. He's 6'3", and he's, I gotta say this though, it is just brutal. These people unmasked are really brutal. And for people to realize this, this is not just an individual who made, you know, a one-time mistake. He didn't get caught up in the heat of the action. Things have been personal with him. This is actually his Twitter here. So remember, the president of the United States is banned from Twitter. The Taliban is allowed. And also, Antifa members, this is, of course, he calls me far right. Another far right figure, Elijah Schaefer, out here dressed like Antifa. Feds out in Portland, and he has this video from Portland that during the time that seeks to show me. So he just comes up, and this is the kind of thing. This is me working in in Portland, and he films people and doxes them. I'm actually wearing AR-500 armor right there, and I'm trying to record the events that are happening, and he puts people out and he tries to get people assaulted and attacked. And so besides just trying to assault people himself, this guy has a history of trying to incite criminal actions. There, you talk about this action. Is there other instances and actions that you know of John Hacker being involved in criminal activity or in like this instance, inciting violence against other people?
Well, last year he was arrested at another one of the many Antifa riots, and he was charged with multiple criminal offenses. Unfortunately, those charges were dropped. I remember actually when John Hacker had tweeted out that video of you, and I remember my heart sank. You know, it looks relatively like kind of innocuous. You know, it's a video of you doing your work, but the purpose of this video at that time, you were on the ground undercover, and you're providing essentially almost real time footage. But he outed you, like particularly where you, with your clothing and how you could be identified and found. And I'm so thankful that you weren't beaten that night, because that is the intention of doing something like that. He's connected to all the Antifa Black Bloc in Portland. He's been for years now. I've seen him in different states, in Washington State and Oregon State. I know he went to D.C. last year as well. So he's a dangerous individual, through my experience, I can testify, and he's connected to dangerous people. And unfortunately, this year, in May, when I was undercover and on the ground, dressed like Antifa and doing field observation, he went up to interrogate me, asked me questions, and then went on to pass that information onto Antifa Black Bloc, who then went on to severely assault me.
And we're really happy you're doing okay. Let's talk about the exact charges and what's going on here. So this indictment, what are the exact charges, and what is the prosecution currently at this moment?
He's charged with third degree robbery, which is a Class C felony. And it's a felony robbery charge because he used force to steal my property from me. He had he made physical contact with me twice in order to get my phone, and I was recording him to document because he was I was afraid. That is how I felt, and I wanted to document this. And as soon as he saw an opportunity to go after me, he did, and he almost made his way out of the gym with my property, my phone. Fortunately, the gym staff did stop and get it back. And so this is a pattern that John Hacker has demonstrated going on for years now, of extremism, far left violent extremism. And as you mentioned before, he weighs around 300 pounds. He's really quite tall, so he's towering over me. And he's a scary individual. And I can only hope that there's a change in the district attorney's office in Portland, that they're going to actually prosecute violent criminals, regardless of whatever political cause that they say they're doing it for. And I want to have confidence in the process. And let's just hope that I get at least a little bit of justice. I've been the victim of so many assaults and death threats. I have like more than 24 reports at the Portland police. And at least now there's one individual who's been criminally charged.
Right. And I know that in the midst of this, you've been a victim of a recent deplatforming and cancellation campaign with Chad Loader and some of these individuals who have been targeting post-millennial, trying to get advertisers to cancel based off of false accusations and lies. And I know that the financial pressure on you has been enormous in the fact that your hard work has always paid off and you've always paid your bills and you always are more successful than people would want you to be. But of course, they're always coming after your income. They do this to all of us, obviously. I mean, they've taken away like over at least like $1 million from this show this year as well. So I know the pressure, Andy. I'm feeling it with you. And I know that it's taken a lot of people to keep this show on the road and to keep this show going and the truth getting out. But obviously, you're not working with Blaze TV. You don't have Glenn Beck daddy money. And I know that in the midst of that, that you need support. And I want to let people know this. If you can go to my screen here, you can support this with Andy Ngo. You can support Ngo versus the Rogue City Antifa and what he's fighting in his fight today. One of the ways you can do this is we did just donate $500 to you, Andy, to help with this on this page.
Thank you so much.
But of course, is this the only way people can support you? Is this the primary place you want people to support you? How can they support you?
The page you're showing is for my legal fund through the Center for American Liberty, which is the nonprofit legal group that Hamid Dhillon, well-known Republican and California-based attorney, started. And I'm one of the cases that she took on. So the John Hacker's attack on me occurred 2.5 years ago. When we kept waiting and waiting and waiting for the charges to come locally, it never did. So we had to move forward with the civil lawsuit against him and other people who attacked me on that day with all the milkshakes that were thrown against me, Rose City Antifa's named in the lawsuit. The unglamorous side of lawsuits is that they cost a lot of money, like eye-watering amounts. People don't realize the number of people that's, you know, private investigators. You need multiple attorneys to research and file, and then you have to deal with it. Like, so I have this support to the Center for American Liberty, but it for it to happen, it required crowdfunding. So thank you for promoting my legal fund, which is at libertycenter.org. Of course, I'm also an independent journalist. My income comes through crowdfunding. And so I'm in that sense a little bit uncancelable, but I work as a contributing editor for the Post Millennial, which is a small news site. And it relies on advertisers for income, and it is vulnerable to these cancel campaigns. And it's been so, I don't think people can realize how it almost feels kind of like you're in an alternate reality when you're the subject to these campaigns. So you mentioned Chad Loader and there was another individual. What happens is just through Twitter, all they have to do is just tag a company, let's say Surfshark, a VPN site, Logitech, PetSmart. Any of these companies that happen to be part of these advertising networks, the Post Millennial or any other site, and then they just lie about the website or lie about me. And with these companies, they freak out. They don't want a PR disaster. And they're not interested actually in the truth. So Chad Loader's accusing me of being conspiring with neo-Nazis to try to get him killed, like really crazy stuff. He has provided no evidence for any of it. And these websites will see these tweets on Twitter, freak out, and cut off business ties. And seeing that happen like day after day, like I felt really helpless. Like how do you defend yourself from like lies that are literally made up out of thin air? Like how, you know, somebody tell me how to do it and I'll do it. And so I'm just really thankful that the New York Post, Miranda Devine, she's a columnist there this week, wrote a piece about what's been happening to the website. Because this is kind of a test case, and, you know, like, these type of campaigns can even often sometimes bring like huge media corporations almost like to its knees. You'll recall that whenever there's some type of manufactured controversy about Tucker Carlson or any of the hosts on Fox News, these people will target the advertisers for Fox News and a really large media corporation. And then the hosts, you know, get pulled off the air for an amount of time and they go on holiday somewhere. So you can only imagine then the pressure that a small news site like the Post Millennial can face, or, and Blaze has suffered a lot of these campaigns before.
Yeah. And I know that, guys, and I want to let you guys know this. Honestly, Andy is not only a friend of mine, he's a friend of yours. If you guys have tracked this whole episode and you've made it this far in the podcast, like, you are a loyal SOB, you're a slightly offensive backer, and you guys support a lot of ways. Like I mentioned, I gave myself, I've never asked you guys to join in a fight that I wouldn't join in. Obviously, even having Andy on, because we love him, is part of me wanting to make sure he's supported even more. And so if you want to fight against Antifa directly and fight against the cancel culture, support the legal fund. It is expensive. I can attest it has been over six figures this year just for us to use lawyers and to fight. It's been very, very expensive. But again, go to that link. It's in the description. Donate today and help him fight and join in that fight, just like you've helped us fight so many times. We've got to get each other's back when the going gets tough, and he needs your support in the midst of a time when support is so hard to come by. We know that we stick together, and that when we come together, that we win. Andy Ngo from Post Millennial, amazing reporter and journalist who is tracking far left extremism and violence. Where can people find you if they want to follow you on social media?
First of all, thank you so much for your donation and just allowing me to share my story with your audience. People can follow my work at andy-ngo.com.
Awesome. Andy, no, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
We're so appreciative of him and all the hard work. This has been a great episode, and I'm so happy with everything that we've worked on, and that it's come from being a joke, from messing with protesters in the street, to becoming a real voice and working with some of those powerful people in the country. And you guys are all a part of that. Thank you so much again. And remember, if you make it to this point, it means you like the show, hopefully, because if you don't like the show and you make it this far, it doesn't make any sense. And that's why we always ask you to leave that 5-star review, to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Guys, we are growing. We keep hitting new thresholds. We're so happy. We've made it in the top 50 of news commentary podcasts for audio only, but we need to get better. We need to beat the game here. We got to get ahead. I don't know how you are here, guys, ahead of us, but we've got to beat and we got to fight this. So go to Apple Podcasts, go to Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your audio only. Even if you don't want to listen to it regular on audio, have the option, because sometimes the audio comes out earlier than this show anyways, which is kind of cool. And also, if these episodes get censored, that's really a cool thing, is that the uncensored full versions of these are always on audio only for free. So you have to pay at Blaze TV to get the segments that we have to cut out sometimes, but they're free on audio only, and you can listen to the uncensored part. So even if you're not, if you always watch the show, but you're like, hey, I want to hear the uncensored part, you can at least just go there and listen to it for all the great information about vaccines, et cetera, et cetera. And you also might get your review read on the screen. We have a couple here that we want to read to you guys as a thank you for leaving those 5-star reviews. We have a review from Pork Eating Crusader 4434. I like it. Awesome. Hey, Elijah and Sav, I can't begin to tell you how much slightly offensive means to me. No matter how bad the country gets and how many of our rights are being trampled, you both never fail to bring a smile to my face and lessen the burden of everyday life. I love you both so much. Please keep fighting the good fight. Stay safe and God bless. Thank you, Pork Eating Crusader. That's from Andrew. We also have one from Builder Will, who said, be a blind viewer. True. Love the show. It's a great dose of truth with a good laugh. Don't watch it, though, and follow Elijah's Twitter feed with caution, because some things cannot be unseen. True. What I have seen on his Twitter has populated my nightmares with an unimaginable level of horror. And a lot of you guys get to see what I post on Twitter as well. I had some pictures that I do want to bring this up simply because he said that. And one of the main things that I want to show you, just to remind you guys what he means by that, is stuff like this, the new pictures from Hooters, the new girls. Wow. I wrote, I love progress. Like, it's just, we've really gotten far, and you know, not only do they have some Hooters, they've got a lot of other things that they have to offer the world too. They have a lot of extra fat, you know, not just in the breasts, but in everywhere. So I'm sure some, yikes. I am not going to say anything else. Okay. Anyway, that's what you see on Twitter. Make sure to follow us there. Also follow Savannah everywhere you can find her. You can find her on YouTube at Sav Says. They can follow the Rapid Fire Podcast. How's the Rapid Fire Podcast? Is it growing?
It's growing. It's growing. It's going good over there. People like my rants on that show, apparently.
People do. People do. People like it. Anyways, but on this show, you can only get a man with his eyes too close together and a forehead one finger too long. It's a 5-head. Anyway, I know my eyes are always puffy when I advertise Genucel. I'm like, I could use it. It's only because, guys, I'm always tired. Like, I'm doing so much shit. I know you guys are. I'm not more working than you are. I'm always stressed out and tired. It's always a lot. But anyway, I thank you guys so much again for helping us fight all these legal fights and keeping going. My name's Elijah Schaefer, your top 17 host here on the Best Worst Show on Blaze TV with Confetti of Color. Remember, we have new merch coming out soon, and you can get the merch that you have now. Have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.